Да.
А у вас там это лекции говорили в прошлый раз?
Да, лекции говорили в прошлый раз.
Speech.
Once you told in the lecture that relationships between...
Cursing, louder.
You told in lecture that relationships between guru and disciples are full of responsibility. What this responsibility means on the first steps of Sharanagati.
Excuse me?
What this responsibility means for disciples on the first steps of this path of Sharanagati.
So the question is, that quoting me in a prior lecture, that I said that the relationship, Guru Shishya Sambandha, is full of responsibility. The responsibility isn't easy. Take an example. A relationship means sambandha. Relationship means I have that you reside in my mind and heart, and I reside in your mind and heart. This is relationship. For example, a lady gives birth to a child. Now she has a child. So she has a relationship. She's the mother, and he's the son, or daughter, I'd say son. So now, the mother has so much, in that relationship between a son and the mother, there's so much responsibility. So the responsibility, the mother has to protect the child. She's responsible. I mean, she's the guardian. She has to protect the child and feed the child and bathe the child and nourish the child and train the child and look over the child and guard the child. Everything, 24 hours a day. So that she has so much responsibility means, caring. That things, action. Responsibility means activity. If you have responsibilities, means you have to do things. It's quite obvious. If you have responsibilities, if you go to school, you have a relationship with school. You're enrolled in a college. So now you're responsible. What do you have to do? You have to come to class. You pay your fees, and once you pay your fees, you're responsible. You have a responsibility to the school, and they have a responsibility to you. You have to attend class. You have to buy the textbooks. You have to study, do your homework. You have to take the exams. And then that's your responsibility from your side of the relationship. The other side is the school, the dean of the school, the in charge, your immediate professors and teachers. So their responsibility is to keep law and order in the classroom and to take attendance, to keep record of the attendance, to make sure you're attending all the classes, you're not cutting all the classes, because if there has to be some record, so many hours in class. If it's 50 hours in a semester and you only come for two, they have to have a record. So he keeps record of your attendance, and then he keeps record of your performance, and then he gives exam. So when he gives a test, then your responsibility is to study and take the test and hopefully pass by the grace of God. But the teacher's responsibility has to read your answers and give you a grade, a mark, passing, failing. And then his responsibility is to teach you the subject and to clarify, to answer your questions and to remove your doubts and give you a clear picture of the subject matter that he's teaching. That's his responsibility. But the same thing, a mother and a child, he has a responsibility towards his mother because of a relationship, but he's not showing much. He can't even speak or see or do anything. But as soon as he becomes, grows up a little bit, then he's responsible. His mother says, you have to behave yourself, so he has responsibility. He has to behave in a certain way, conduct himself. He has to tell the mother where he's going, and he has to, like this. So the same thing, now you take it to guru and disciple. Guru is like father. Guru is teacher. Guru is friend. Guru is God. Guru is our savior. Guru is the ocean of mercy, Kripa Sindhu. But basically in Hari Bhakti Vilas, one of the lakshana, guru lakshana, is he has vatsalya. Vatsalya means affection. So the responsibility of the guru is to teach the knowledge, to give the knowledge of transcendence. to teach sadhana tattva and sadhya tattva. What is the way of bhakti? What is the meaning of bhakti? The tattva, the bhakti tattva, and then the practices, and then the sadhya, the goal, how to attain the goal. What is the goal? The objective, the goal, the end result of practicing bhakti, which means, of course, you become attached to Krishna and develop pure love for Krishna and become absorbed in His eternal service, Radha and Krishna, and Goloka Vrindavan, and that you see and realize and perceive your spiritual body, your individual siddhadeya. If not this life, then next life. So the Guru's responsibility is to liberate His disciples. Gurur na shishyat, pitaro na shishyat. In the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, there's one verse. That shloka is in the fifth canto, Rishabhadev Shiksha. King Rishabhadev is instructing his 100 sons about responsibility. As your question is, what is the responsibility of a disciple? And what is the responsibility of a guru? In the relation, both have responsibility to each other. So this verse, it talks about responsibility expressed in different positions. Guru nasasyat, swajano nasasyat, pita nasasyaj, janani nasasyat, devam natatsyan, napatish chasasyan, namochayed, ya samupeta mrityum. So he says that a person who cannot deliver means to liberate. To liberate his dependence from the path of birth and death should never become a guru, a father, a husband, a mother, or a worshipable demigod. So these are all positions of responsibility. Guru, father, mother, husband, or devata. So these personalities, mother does what she does, but her most important responsibility, the teacher, guru, father, husband, mother, and devata, is to liberate their sons or disciples or wives or worshippers. So this is the example there. So responsibility of the guru, as I already mentioned, is to teach and instruct and live a life of devotion. If he's a bhakti guru, then he has to live a life of devotion and show the devotional path. He shows what is bhakti. By his behavior, he shows devotion. He shows his attachment and love of God. And disciple becomes this, he absorbs that by seeing, by experiencing, by the disciple's responsibility in that relationship. He promises to do bhakti, to do his bhakti sadhana. And in some places, not everywhere, but in some institutions, they ask the disciple to follow regulative principles. But many times in India or even in Agodia Sampradaya, the gurus, actually for the majority, they do not require so many, they don't ask the disciple to promise to follow four principles. Generally, when people are serious about any form of spiritual life, and they come to a spiritual teacher, guru, they're vegetarians already, and they're somewhat sense-controlled, and they themselves are sincere and serious responsible men and women who are frustrated to some extent with material life and interested in God. So the guru will assess and judge their eligibility and qualification for diksha, and he won't necessarily require the allegiance to follow four regulative principles. We've seen there may be some flexibility there. For example, many Indians, they have a guru, because I live in India, they have a guru and they're serious about their spiritual life, but they drink coffee and tea. And maybe the guru does also. Can't say. So that's it's quite a wide road, wide avenue. But nevertheless, the disciple is responsible to follow the teachings of his particular guru. And if he has promised to take certain vows that he must follow, then he's responsible to follow those vows, to uphold his promises, and moreover, to learn the teachings of the guru, to practice, to read the guru's books, and to follow the instructions the guru teaches. When you go to college, the professor teaches you, then he says, here's your homework, do your homework, read this chapter, take some notes, and you'll be examined. So the guru is also giving orders, and read this book and that book, and if you have questions, you ask me. So this way, the guru guides the disciple, and the disciple has to respond by reading and studying and answering questions, and maybe doing some menial service or some other seva for the pleasure of the guru. But we see mostly what I've seen in India as a country, which is full of spiritualists and full of gurus of various angles of vision, we could say, or various viewpoints and philosophies. The disciple doesn't have any specific service for the guru. But in some institutions, the disciples are very much personally connected to the guru. But not all of them. I mean, just like even guru has many disciples, but grihasthas, the majority of any disciples of any guru, I would assume, they're just living their lives, working and maintaining their families, and doing as much spirituality as they can. I mean, it's clear, it's not a very complicated question, the responsibility. Responsibility means actions, ways of acting, actions, and behavior, and conduct of one towards another. That means responsibility. The husband is responsible for the wife, and the wife is responsible to the husband. So, it may be some distance. Some people have gurus, and what is their responsibility? The guru is in Vrindavan, or wherever, and they're living in Bombay, or Russia, or Australia, and they see the guru once every 5-10 years. So their responsibility is basically whatever he gives them, teachings they should follow, even in absence from the guru, you're not meeting the guru, and you're not directly communicating with him, nor are you serving him or personally or doing any particular type of personal service or on request. But that sambandha is there. He's remembering you and praying for your welfare and meditating on your well-being, and guru means God, connected to God. So God is looking after all of the spiritual people in the world because his representatives, the various representatives of transcendence and the various representatives of God, Krishna, Ram, Vishnu, the gurus, they are the representatives. They are extending the mercy and teachings and ways of devotion and ways of spiritual practice to all the people of the world. So God is also looking over. So even in total separation, what we call separation, the guru is still present and acting in a responsible way by overseeing invisibly. He's invisibly overseeing and guiding and blessing and helping the disciples, even if he hasn't seen them for 10 years or 20 years, and he's separated by so much distance. Because through the super soul Paramatma and through Krishna and various devatas, the welfare of the spiritual seeker is being arranged and maintained by a whole chain of a whole network and chain of well-wishers, beginning from the Diksha Guru all the way to God. So this is the fullest extent of responsibility. Right.
I know that different parivaras, like Nityananda parivar, Advaita parivar, and
Rakeshwara Pandit.
Yes, different parivaras, Gopal Guru, and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Bhaktivedanta Guru, they have different
Shamananda parivar
viewpoint and different. Point on the subject about Raganuga Sadhana. And what
different parivars don't have a different viewpoint of Raganuga Sadhana?
I don't know much about the topic, but that's why I'm asking. I think that they have different viewpoint.
Well,
but I'm not sure. And
what's your viewpoint? The main thing is your viewpoint. There's, you know, it says. Many men, many minds. I can't remember. Bahumanush, Bahuman. I forget. But so many people have different ideas. But the main what is your idea? What is your belief? What is your belief? What is your desire? What is your aspiration? Everyone, so many men have different beliefs. Some people believe in Brahman. Some people are Nashtik or Pashandi, atheists. Some people are Buddhists. Some people believe in Jesus or Krishna or Ram, many, many different beliefs, but you have to find your own. What belief works for you? So as far as Raganuga Bhakti goes, it's clear, it's a science. It's not your idea of Raganuga Bhakti, my idea. The definition is clear, and some individual details may vary, but Raganuga Bhakti is clearly outlined in Raghavardhan Chandrika. The different aspects of five different types of activities that are related to Raganuga Bhakti, Bhava Mayi, Sadhana, the five types of sadhana underneath, five categories of sadhana related to Raganuga Bhakti, Bhava Mayi, Bhava Sambandha, Bhava Anukulya, Bhava Pratikulya Vera. Bhava Sambandhi, Bhava Mayi. So these are there. And the mention in Goswami Granth and Bhakti Sandarbha Raganuga Bhakti is described. And also in the seminal literature of Rupa Goswami, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it's the law book for devotion. For all devotees, everyone in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, Rupa Raghunatha Padi Hoiba Kati, Rupa Raghunatha's teachings and instructions are the supreme paramount shiksha for every Gaudiya Vaishnava. So if someone's teachings or ideas are not in harmony or not vibrating, not in harmony or the same as Rupa Goswami's and Vishnu Chakravarti Pad's, then it's not really Raghunuga Bhakti. Maybe your interpretation of Raghunuga Bhakti or your understanding. But it's very, very clear. And everybody that's practicing Raganuga Bhakti based on the Shastras, without some personal motivation or personal interpretation, they're all basically following the same path. There's not so much variation. Different parivars, that's just the founders, you know, just some different, there's not much difference even in the parivars. Difference in Tilak, and some are under the shelter of Nityananda and his line, or Advaita. It's different lines of gurus. The Parivar means family. It's like there's Alita's family, She's the Lita, and she has her Ashtasakhis. And then each Sakhi has her Ashtamandris, and Lita has her Ashtamandris. And then there's Vishakha. It's like a family. It's a parivar. It's a group. It's called a Yuta. Yuta means group. And Yuteshwari means the queen. Yuteshwari means the leader of that group, the boss, the queen of that group, the leader of that group, the chief. Lita's Yuteshwari for Lita's Sakigan. Radha's Yuteshwari for everyone, all the groups. Parameshwari Radha. So they have different tilaks, but they're all doing the same thing. Lord Chaitanya taught Raghunath Das Goswami. He said day and night, about Raghunuga Bhakti in different parivars. But it's all based on the shastras. Everyone follows the shastra. The main shloka, the key point here is Seva sadaka rupena siddha rupena chatrihi tad bhava lipsana karya braja lokanusarata Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, first wave, second chapter, verse 295. Haryas Bhakti. Yeah. A sadaka who has greed for Raghunuga Bhakti should serve Krishna both in his sadaka rupa and his siddha rupa, which means your siddha sarup or siddha deya, according with the bhavas of the Brijvasis. This is the translation. Which have the same mood he aspires for. It says, tad bhava, lipsuna. Whatever mood, the mood, what lipsuna means, your desire to obtain the mood of Rupa Mandri and Lalita, Vishaka, Rati Mandri. So, that bhav, tad bhava lipsana karya, you work to attain that by braja loka anusarata. Anusar, there's anukaran, anusharan, and anusarata. So it means that you follow in their footsteps of the Brijvasis. And then later, this is in CC, Lord Chaitanya is teaching about Raghunuga Bhakti to Sanatana Goswami. Baya antara ihara duito sadan baya saraka deki kare shravana kirtan mane nija siddha deha. It's right here. Mane nija siddha deha kariya bhavan Ratri Dine Kare Braja Krishnara Sevan. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Baya Antara Ihara Duita Sadhana. Raghunuga Bhakti means there's two types of sadhana, external and internal. So external means your sadhaka rup, hearing, chanting, sadhusanga, prikama. Then antar means internally, meditating on Leela. Then it says, externally, baya means sadaka dehe kare shravana kirtan. In your sadaka form, as a practitioner, you should engage mainly in hearing and chanting, shravana kirtana. Hearing and chanting about Radha and Krishna, hearing and chanting about the Brijvasis, like hearing and reading Stavavali, which contains Nilakusamanjali and all the Govinda Lilamrita, and hearing and chanting and remembering all these books. So now internally, mane nija siddha deya karya bhavan. So then it means nija siddha bhavana. Bhavana means consideration or thinking. And your siddha deya, nija siddha deya. Your nija means your. Your siddha deya, you should develop ideas within your mind, and your mind in your Siddhartha, Ratri, Dine, Kari, Braje, Krishna or Sevan. Night and day, you should serve Krishna and Vrindavan, 24 hours a day, in your mind, in your Siddhartha. So all the parivars you mentioned, they give diksha, Siddha Pranali diksha, to the disciple when he's eligible and qualified, usually not even after so much time, a year or two or so, whatever, the guru will observe their eagerness and their lobha, their greed to follow the Brijvasis and follow the path of Rag. They're given Siddha Pranali, they're given their Siddhadeya by the Guru. Then they begin to follow the path. So everyone's in harmony with that. But some institutions they don't have that as a practice, and they present something else. They say, no, you just do Shravana Kirtanam, you do your hearing and chanting, and then after some time, you come to Bhava, and then at Bhava Bhakti you'll see your Siddhadeya. But Bhava Bhakti is not sadhana. This is talking about sadhana. This is the Raganuga Bhakti sadhana. Sadhana Bhakti has two parts, Vaidhi sadhana and Raganuga sadhana. That's sadhana bhakti. Then there's Bhava Bhakti and Prema Bhakti. Bhava Bhakti and Prema Bhakti are basically the same. There's two stages of bhakti. Bhakti in practice and bhakti in perfection. When you're at the level above, you're practically perfect. So there's not three levels. There's basically two stages: sadhana in practice and real pure devotional service or pure bhakti. Is another name you can call it is Bhava Bhakti or Prema Bhakti. Bhava Bhakti and Prema Bhakti are like two sides of one coin. One coin, perfection. Other coin, practice, endeavoring for perfection. So Raganuga sadhana, Raganuga Bhakti is a sadhana. It's not that you do Vaidhi sadhana and you come to Bhav and then you meditate. You start way back as sadhana, way before you get to Bhav. Bhav may take many, many lifetimes. Many, many lifetimes of practicing Raganuga Bhakti sadhana, then the sadhaka may come to the level of Bhava in one life. And generally, if you attain Bhava in one life, you also reach Prema in the same life. But to get to that life where you attain Bhav, it takes many lifetimes, according to Jiva Goswami in the Sandarbhas, it takes many lifetimes of practicing Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. Seriously endeavoring to attain the Madhurya Bhav, for example, if you're a Madhurya Mai, Braja Madhurya Mai Upasaka, following the Brajajanas, the Gopi Brajajanas, Lalita Vishaka Radharani in Braj. So what other people, is something different than that is being taught, then that's a unique way, some other thing, because actually this is Lord Chaitanya is telling, Rupa Goswami Pad is telling, Vishnu Chakravarti Pad, Lord Chaitanya is telling, it's in CC. He's saying that this is the practice. So this is Raghunath. He's asking, he's teaching Sanatana Goswami, this is sadhana bhakti. He taught him about Vaidhi. Now this is a Raghunuga bhakti. And what is the eligibility? Lord Chaitanya tells the eligibility. You read about the Brijvasis, you hear about their loving exchanges. And it's so beautiful and so attractive. Then you desire to be like them. And you become very eager and desirous. That's called greed. Nija Bhishta Krishna Preshta, this is also Madhya Leela. Nija Bhishta Krishna Preshta Pachita Lagiya Nirantara Sevakari Antar Manakhana. Krishna Preshta means the Brijvasis who are dear to Krishna. Nija Abhishta, like Manobhishtam. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale. in the Rupa Goswami or Chaitanya's glorification. So the Abhishta means your cherished goal, your cherished desire. Nija means your own. Abhishta, what you really want. When you have the desire to be like Krishna Prasya, the Brajajanas, the gopis of Vrindavan, then Nirantara, Antara means end, Nira means no end, like Antilila, no end. 24 hours a day, Nirantara Seva Kare Antarman. 24 hours a day inside Antarman. Man is called, man means mind, antar means inside. Nirantara Seva. 24 hours a day you should do Seva. So if you're practicing Raghunuga Bhakti, this is what it means. Serving in Sarakadeya and the Siddharupa. So where's the time for going out and doing other activities? Raghunuga Bhakti is a very absorbed practice. It's not you don't practice Raghunuga Bhakti on the weekend. Saturday afternoon I practice Raghunuga Bhakti. It's a daily practice. It's a daily sadhana, abhyas. Abhyas means every day practice. This is also Dasasaka Pitraradi. No. Dasasaka Pitradi Prayas Siragana Rag Marge Nija Nija. Dasasaka Pitradi Prayas Siragan Raga Marge Nija Nija Bhavira Ganan E Matakari Jeva Raghunuga Bhakti Krishnara Charane Tanra Upajaya Priti. The servants of Krishna, the friends, the parents, the prayasis. Namo namo Krishna prayasi. Prayasi means dearmost lover. Tulsi Vrindadevi is a dearmost beloved of Krishna. The gopis are prayasis. Means the conjugal lovers. Ragmarg. So you can be on Ragmarg and follow any of these. Nija Nija Bhavira Ganan. So that Nija Bhavira, your own choice, the Bhav that you choose, Ganan means you count, you execute, Kare, you execute Raghunuga Bhakti, following in their footsteps, and then Krishna Charanitan Upajaya Priti. What will happen is that by practicing Raghunuga Bhakti, by following the Prayasis, Braja Prayasi, gopis, or following the servants of Krishna or the friends of Krishna or even the parents, Pitriyadi, then what will happen by practicing Raghunuga Bhakti? Raghunuga Bhakti Krishnara Charane Tanar Upajaya Priti. Then one will affection will appear. Krishna Priti. Krishna love and affection, attachment for Krishna Charan. For Krishna's feet will arise, will appear in one's heart. So, hearing and chanting and remembering the Rishvasis. This is Ragmarg. I have Sarakadeya and Siddhadeya. So, that's the question that anyone can ask. Well, everywhere I go, they offer the Siddhadeya. If I'm eager to practice Raghunuga Bhakti, but some places they don't. So then, why is that? So they maybe have different idea, different approach. Just do kirtan, do sankirtan, harinam, and it will arise or so. They have idea. But it's actually a practice. It's a sadhana. It's clear, the nectar devotion. Seva sadhaka rupena siddharupena chatri. So this always causes some discussion about this aspect. Siddha Rupena Chatri. It's a sadhana, so when will we begin? When do we begin the sadhana in our Siddhadeha? When do we begin to meditate on the Brijbasis and their seva? And when do we meditate on our desired seva And Siddhadeya, when does that come? What stage? So, Krishna Chakravarti says, when means at the level of Anartha Nivritti. That means just beginning, if the greed is there. But if you, so when you go to the Guru and you say, oh, I have so much greed to follow the Brijvasis, and I'm reading like this and chanting like this and praying like this, and you haven't even taken Diksha yet. So the Guru will examine you and he will speak to you and hear from you and see your eagerness and see the genuine quality of your heart. And then right there, day one, you get Diksha. He may give Siddha Pranali on the spot or within 6 months or 1 year. But 40 years later, someone is practicing Vaidhi Sadhana for 30 years, 40 years, and no slightest idea of Siddhadeya or Bhajan and Siddhadeya. It's